If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I found myself on the Jordan podcast today, and you know, they wanted to talk against Candace, and there's currently currently Candace is at the center of the internet with her claims, with her investigation, and I've been on the two sides of this. I've been critical of hers when she was exploring stuff that obviously was unproductive. I was also behind her because in the end, she is the only one asking questions to the extent where you can say at the end of it, I don't know if Candace will be right about 10% of what she says, 100% of what she says, whatever. I don't know that, but I know something for sure. And this is what my case for Candace is. I know that I will be satisfied that someone has actually invested the effort to know the best that we could know, and that someone went aggressively at knowledge like a liar rather than just be satisfied. I don't like when our institutions are mere satisfiers. I don't like when they find the story that will just content everyone. And I like that there is an agent in the Charlie Kirk murder assassination investigation. I like that Candace is there. So that at the end, whatever we conclude about what happened, we will be sure that the important branches of possibilities have been pursued with aggressiveness, with the aggression of someone who actually loved Charlie, loved in a friend way. I'm not saying like Tim Pool here. But yes, Candace is at the center of the internet because she is the only one giving that impression. She is the only one ultimately that can give a feeling, okay, this person truly wants to know. She may not be fully rational in some of her stuff. I find it a loss of time. And there's a case today in what she says that is basically showing the whole problem with the Candace approach, because there are numerous problems, numerous trade-offs that are bad. And like today she says, I'm reporting this exclusively. I have this information. I now know that the surgeon, he didn't say all these things about the magic steel spine. And it's like, well, first of all, why were you so stupid as to believe the magical steel spine theory? It's because you wanted Andrew Colvett, you wanted TPUSA to be stuck. You wanted to call them out. That's why you lend so much credence to this. Because a guy like me, do I believe that Charlie Kirk has a neck of steel? No. But did I spend months complaining, oh, they're saying he has a neck of steel, ha ha ha. No, because I understand that human beings sometimes they use loose language. And I've always been sure that this was not direct words from the surgeon. I've always been sure this doesn't come from a scientific mind. It comes from someone loosely quoted or interpreted some statements, and that person didn't have a particularly scientific mind, and that's it. But the conspiracist, they've been building for months on this quote. Oh, the Charlie Kirk next steel theory. And it's like, at some point you should be, at some point you have a duty as a truth seeker to be able to dismiss this stuff, to be able to say, yeah, I don't think that Charlie Kirk has a neck of steel, but I also don't think that the fact that some human being decided to use this wording, loosely speaking about what he heard from the surgeon, I don't think that this is a line of investigation that is worth pursuing. Because this line of investigation led people like Ian Carroll to make absolutely wild statements about ballistics that they can't back up. And that is based ultimately on misinterpretations of experts and what they say and how they know. So let's listen to them. And now today, what do we have on the Candace show? Candace comes out and says, I now know what the surgeon actually said, and it's that the bullet was a fragmentable bullet. And I'm like, I had to spend days fighting the hordes of the internet this week, this very week. I had to spend days fighting these hordes of Ian Carroll and probably some degree of audiences of Candace Owens who are telling me, ha ha ha, JF thinks that skin is a trampoline. Well, I said that a bullet that is fragmented, that is tumbling, that is wobbling, that yes, it could pierce one layer of skin and have difficulty piercing the second. Now, apparently, you guys of the internet, you crowds of people yelling at me how stupid I am to believe crazy theories. Apparently now, Candace is absolutely in line with me. So why did we go through this whole circus? Why a full month of, steel neck impossible? And then a full week of these fucking people saying, JF has the trampoline skin theory now. All of this to boil down to now it appears that Candace today recognizes that the ballistics allow, including the possibility of fragmentable bullets, which are possible configurations for 30-06, apparently allows everything that would make my theory correct. So why is it that why is there this disjunction between what Candace officially says, what her minions like Ian Carroll then say, and then what the stupid low-level people of the internet come to me with? It kind of sucks. That's a disadvantage of the Candace approach. But today I'm here to say, let us endure this shit. Because as a biologist, I'm fascinated about how structure emerges from shit. How topsoil leads to something like a tree, and how compost leads to something like a plant that gets eaten by an animal, and now you have a beef. Now you have a cow. Cat's Dad says, JF, as a cheese enjoyer, do you like pimento cheese? Look, pimento cheese. I have been familiarized with pimento cheese in my time in the US. I hadn't thought about it, but I might include it now that you talk about it in white people food. Pimento cheese. So it's a mix of a cream. Is it sour cream, maybe? Mayo, whatever. And then grated orange cheese. That's pimento cheese for you right there. And of course, some pepper or red pepper, but importantly, it's grated orange cheese with a white sauce. And it is kind of used onto tacos, onto nachos, onto breads. You can get pretty much anything with pimento cheese on it. Do I like pimento cheese? Liking would be a strong word here because this is... it's not bad, though. Pimento cheese is okay. In the last few days, I've been developing a bread biscuit hybrid. Man, white people food will be basically a university course. Right now, I'm doing the SAS section. I have to enable the screen for you guys to see it. Let's see. Why is it not showing? Okay, so I'm capturing a screen. Why would that not work? La 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 la. Well, I guess that I have to capture a window now. I guess that I have to redo the source because sometimes Streamlabs just completely bugs when you change something like this. Display capture. Monitor 2. All right. We're getting somewhere. All right. So, yes, I've been working. White people food. I'm currently in the sauce section and the baking section. I've developed this piece of bread, which is meant to look like bread and be fluffy like bread. But when you chew it, it's like a biscuit. It is a crumbly, buttery American biscuit from the South. This is my creation to the culinary world. A bread biscuit hybrid, a collision between the French and American world. I'm very proud of the result. I will add a little bit butter, a little bit of butter for my next batch, but I'm getting there with the recipe. And as far as the sauce section, bro, I will show you how to make all possible brown sauces, all possible combinations, all techniques that are used. I think this book could be sold $10,000 and it would give you your money's worth. I have to sneeze. Give me a moment. Barnaby Brito asks for signed version. Well, at first I thought I wouldn't offer signed version because first I feel bad. I have already pre-sold like 15 Moral Signal versions, and it's like I have bad news for the people waiting for the Moral Signal. I've decided to publish White People Food first. But now there's increased interest, and it seems that a lot of you guys want the signed White People Food. Yeah, I mean, I'm open if you guys are excited about it. Now, I have to up the price because the printing price of this book will be crazy, and it's going to be a big book, so it's going to cost me more to send it to you. But if you're willing to make the money work for me, I guess we're going to be in the range of about $150, $150 USD for signing the book. You reserve your number and I can mail it to you wherever you are in the world. That's pretty much where we stand because the printing cost is $44. The shipping cost is probably going to be something like $30 to $50. So taking all of this into consideration with proper protection for the book, because I want you to receive your signed copy intact and not scrapped, I think we would be in this area. We would be in the area of $150 if we want to make this happen. Now, I had sold the signed exemplars of the morals of the revolutionary phenotype, I had sold them at $125. So I can't do magic here. It's a higher cost print and a higher cost shipping. So at $125, you had your signed exemplar of the revolutionary phenotype. I can make it work maybe at $150. Now, Sadie Edwards says, shut up and take my money. Sadie Edward says, do British websites use biscuits? Well, biscuits generally is a American South tradition. You can find some pastries and desserts that are in the same path in terms of using baking soda and having an alkaline bread in various forms of European cooking. But the final biscuit made with buttermilk is a very American thing. And the reason I was developing this is that the biscuit itself and its recipes are actually very poor practices in bread making. You know, you cook these biscuits and they don't inflate. They stay flat. They're not fluffy. It's a bizarre thing. And they kind of crumbly in a dry way. And it's annoying. So I wanted to bring the biscuit into the elevated bread space with fluffiness, with capacities to control the inflation. And I did that with a combination of yeast and baking powder. Of course, I'm not the first to attempt something like this. They call generally this attempt an angel biscuit. But the idea of an angel biscuit is to do half biscuit, half bread roll, which is also an American practice of bread. I wanted to bring the biscuit into the French bread domain, into a truly yeast pastries, and I wanted it to be kind of a burger bun so that you can easily put a pork chop or a patty, sausage patty with an egg, and it leads to a bun experience. Alex Sam says you should make scones with jam and clotted cream. You know, I'm not a big fan of dessert pastries, and it will show in this book. I'm going to include a couple desserts just to say that white people do have some desserts. But I'm a savory guy. Even in the pastry domain, I am absolutely biased towards salty, savory stuff. Marby Dog says, do you accept gold bricks as payments or perhaps my firstborn? I'll have to think because it's very hard to convert human beings into cash. Maybe gold is liquid enough for me to accept. So let's talk about Candace. And she's done a spectacular interview on Piers Morgan. There's lots of clips that are emerging right now that are anti-Candace today, because this was published today. And they say Piers Morgan honed Candace. But Piers Morgan was slimy in this interview because he didn't hold Candace to what she's actually saying. He held her to implication standards. Now, there is a fair question to ask about whether you should inhibit implication when you do an investigation. Is it fair when you search for the truth and say you have a question? Let's say the question is, was Kash Patel nervously speaking on his... And I'm inventing this out of nowhere, just to have a theoretical example. Was Kash Patel nervously speaking on his phone behind the scenes of the Charlie Kirk murder before even Charlie Kirk was murdered? Now, that is a factual question. This factual question has implications, obvious implications. Now, suppose we didn't know. Suppose we were trying to determine, was Kash Patel nervously speaking on his cell phone 1 minute before the Charlie Kirk murder? If I was to launch an investigation on this, and let's say I was to call the crowdsourcing of the internet, the power of the internet, so that I have people at every angle, possibly one who would have seen Kash Patel at that moment in time, during that call. Obviously, by simply raising the question, I would be raising a series of implications. Is is Cash Patel involved in the murder or the cover-up? Did Cash Patel have advanced knowledge? Is the FBI involved, etc.? All of these questions would kind of stem from my interrogation. But if we don't allow ourselves to ask these questions, then first, who's going to ask them? Second, how are we going to know as the public that those questions were asked? And third, how are we going to be confident in the answers we obtain? Because if you tell me, JF, you can't ask questions that have implications for a government conspiracy until you have facts proving that government conspiracy, then we might as well just abandon truth-seeking publicly. Because then it's like everyone has to be an isolated journalist. Why? Epistemologically, why? I don't think that that should be. I believe that journalistic ethics, as they stood classically, they involved various degrees of control, which ensured certain degrees of protection. And they involve certain degrees of protection for the corporation that the newspaper is. So verify with two sources. Now, were these journalistic ethics particularly fit to find the truth? No. And that's why the entirety of basic journalism is bullshit. And that's why it's constantly used to tell you a lie. Because getting something from two different sources is extremely easy when you have a political program and agenda that makes so many people interested in one angle of the truth that they're all willing to repeat it to you. And if they're not willing to do it on the record, they're willing to do it by saying, an anonymous source also confirmed that. We've heard that so much in classical journalism. And these people like Barry Weiss and the others who are showing up to tarnish Candace and all, including Piers Morgan, they never self-criticized, they never self-examined on this. They never self-examined on, did we get it right? And Candace was absolutely brilliant at one moment of that interview where she said where Piers Morgan had showed repeated tricks and sliminess toward her. Those tricks generally went as follows, because we won't listen through the full interview. But generally, to tell you how it went, it was like, well, you don't have facts, Candace, that there is a giant all-encompassing government conspiracy. And it was like, well, I'm not saying this, so no, I don't have facts. And then Piers Morgan was immediately jumping on this. Aha! So you're saying you don't have facts? And Candace was like, well, I don't have evidence for something I haven't claimed. That's why I haven't claimed it. So we had definitely a Piers Morgan playing stupid in that interview. He was trying to have Candace say something she has never said. And then he was holding her to that standard while also going to more subclaims of hers that she actually made. And then he was trying to oscillate between the two, bait and switch, bait and switch, bait and switch. Okay, so you say this about this specific... You say that this guy lied. And she's like, yes, I say that he's lied. But do you have facts that he was involved in the murder of Charlie Kirk? Well, no, but that's not what I'm saying. So we had this back and forth of a constant straw manning by Piers Morgan. And at some point, after being tired of the whole thing, Candace ended up catching Piers Morgan very hard because she said, Piers Morgan, a lot of what you say is a case of wrong messenger. Because Piers was trying to say, well, you're making money from all these lies, which you don't have evidence for. So, of course, the whole you don't have evidence for relied on a basic Strawman structure. But then he started getting into the, oh, your super chats. And to that, I said on my X this morning, I'd rather the economy of truth finding be funded by super chats. By the way, who are always the ones complaining about super chats? It's people who don't get super chats. It's people who fail at making a living with super chats. They get giga chats, these people. Because if you're in the media business and I look at your regular chat and you're not making money, like many of the Daily Wire people, many of these official voices, Barry Weiss doesn't make super chats. Piers Morgan doesn't make much super chats. But these people are making giga chats. Barry Weiss had her blog bought out for $150 million. Now that's one giga chat. And I'd rather the truth finding process be funded by the super chats of Candace Owens than a George Soros chat. Because yes, John Drake, Soros chat. The George Soros super chats, let me tell you, they come with binding conditions. You're going to be a creature of the system forever. And Candace said to Piers, wrong messenger, my friend, because I know how you make your money. And for you to come and complain about my super chat when I know how you make your money and you've been the slimiest in acquiring funding. And bro, she owned Piers Morgan so hard on this attack that Piers Morgan even backed out and said, no, I'm not saying that I'm not hypocritical. What? You're not saying you're not hypocritical? So you're saying you are being hypocritical when complaining against Candace. So you are basically, Piers Morgan admitted in front of this absolute frontal attack by Candace in this interview. Piers Morgan effectively admitted, I am just a puppet for money. I am just doing it in a different way than you. You're doing it for $20 and $100 super chats. I'm doing it for millions of dollars at a shot, and I don't give a shit. And I am hypocritical when I criticize you because I'm dirtier than you. That's effectively what Piers Morgan had to acknowledge. So when you're at that point where you are so slimy that you're willing to morally pose as, oh, this is a dishonest way of making money. Oh, but I'm not saying that I'm not dishonest also. I'm not saying that I'm not doing it. I'm doing it. I'm just doing it harder than you. This totally fell flat. And in my view, Candace absolutely won this interview. Now, Piers Morgan being the clown that he is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he said, the fact that he got ridiculed. Part of the internet will just side against Candace. And we do see a highly botted environment that is rising. Clearly, they are warming up for the coming election cycles and all. So be it. So there's going to be a bunch of people cheering Piers. Piers totally destroyed Candace. No, he didn't, but okay. And then there's going to be the Candace followers supporting her. In the end, what truly matters and what I believe is a fundamental case for what Candace is doing is that we need public truth seeking, because these institutional messages, these prepared press releases, these incomplete theories, they are annoying and they are obstructing the finding of the truth. And to have someone like Candace take on the torch even if she does so with errors and with unproductive directions. And entropic noise, really, because the whole month spent talking about Charlie Kirk's teen neck, is false. And then I come and I say, you know what? Ballistics indicate to me, you know, just having a rough understanding of the physics. I read the models. I read the literature. It's possible. 30-06, possibly a fragmenting bullet, possibly a bullet designed on bone impact to fragment and therefore to lose a lot of mass and a lot of energy and to cause more damage, but more locally. These kinds of bullets exist, and it's totally feasible that it would be stopped by a neck, not even a bone. Just a small collision with a bone causes a fragmentation, and then the skin can withhold it. Now, I say this, I have to fight irrational hordes of the internet for a whole week, and now we have today Kenda saying, oh yeah, I have some information that the surgeon said it must have been a fragmenting bullet. But then, why are we still even questioning this whole Tyler Robinson? If you acknowledge that 30-06 can be fragmenting, if you acknowledge that this gun could shoot a 30-06 bullet, what is left to say my position is that Tyler Robinson didn't shoot? Well, Candace gave us something today, and this is where, yes, there are lots of unproductive directions. Candace said that she spoke to policemen who were engaged in the dog search for the trace of the shooter, for the trace of the weapon, and for the trace of the sniper's nest. And she builds a whole case today that, you know, you should assume that dogs would always be able to sniff a recently exploding bullet, a gun that has powdered bullet, that has explosive bullet powder on it, because it has just shot a bullet. A dog should always be able to find it. And she tells the story, according to some of these policemen, that the dogs would have went through the wood, would have been able absolutely to trace the whole parkour of Tyler Robinson between the sniper's nest and the wood, would have been able to smell the odor of Tyler Robinson, but apparently were unable to find the gun in the wood, despite the fact that the gun had recently shot. And again, we are stuck in the world of suggestions here. What are the implications of this theory? Well, Candace is implying that this gun hadn't shot a bullet. Candace is implying that sending dogs into a forest is a positive test for knowing whether a gun has been planted or whether a gun has been the actual shooting weapon in a shooting scenario. Now, did she say any of this? No. But having fought the hordes of people who are following her, I know that this is what people will conclude. Now, is it fair? Is it fair for leaving an uncertainty on this? It's fair. It's okay that Candace is not fully convinced that Tyler Robinson isn't the shooter. It's fair to the extent that I want us to find with the most advanced methods, DNA prints, explosive powdered bullet detection chemicals which exist. They can actually detect if you have a trace of some chemical on you that indicates you have shot a gun recently. Sometimes those traces can be even on skin and therefore are resilient to people washing their clothes or getting rid of their clothes. I find it okay that Candace is keeping the question open of, was Tyler Robinson the shooter? But at the same time, let us have a look, a critical look at the scientific validity of this conclusion. This idea that I've sent Doug in a woods, they haven't found the gun, therefore that gun probably didn't shoot. This whole line of implications is incorrect. It's poor science. It's using dogs for something they haven't been developed for. We have no idea what would be the success rate of this conclusion. Let's say I have 10 guns. I shoot one bullet for each gun, and then I spread these guns in a forest. And then I send the canine dogs to, or the explosive detector dogs, the bomb dogs. Let's say I send them into the forest. Will they find each of the guns? Will they find 10% of the guns? Will they find 80% of the guns? That is science. That is methodological concern. I see absolutely no science and no methodological concern in saying, oh, well, do you know what, guys? I heard from a policeman that the dogs didn't find the gun. In fact, it was humans that found the gun. But again, we are in a kind of goalpost system of moves where, okay, I've definitely proven that the mathematical physics of the ballistics works with 30-06. So Candace is detaching from the, it's not a 30-06 that shot Charlie theory. Jan Carroll appears to be still sticking to it. Now we have a goalpost move. Well, the dogs didn't sniff the explosive bullet on the gun and couldn't find the gun in the forest. Well, okay, a lot could explain this, including the fact that dogs aren't known to 100% find bullets or exploded bullet traces in a large area like a forest. It depends whether they're going to have crossed that path or not. It depends whether they will have happened to be in the vicinity of that gun or not to smell it. John Drake says, nope, dogs aren't a 100%. I was in the pest control business and bed bug sniffing. Dogs weren't always correct. Exactly. False positive, false negatives. All of these things need to be quantified before we reach conclusions. But they are not. And so those are the costs of Candace's endeavor. It's a lot of people that will end up with a lot of false beliefs that will end up trying to find the truth in subsets of possibilities that are already impossible. But they just don't know because they believe the one implication or the other of what Candace is saying. And as I was making the case, and so that is a very heavy anti-Candace argument. Like, there is mass deception emerging from this endeavor. Now, the case that I made this morning on Jordan's podcast is that there are two aspects to epistemology. You can consider elite epistemology, and this would be what JF can know from something, let's say, or what an interested philosopher with advanced knowledge, high IQ, can extract from a situation. Let's call this elite epistemology. And then there's mass epistemology, which is the average state of belief in the fucking idiots out there, which form humanity. Now, it would seem to me that what Candace is doing is she is helping elite epistemology progress by small bits, at the cost of massive expense of mass epistemological deception. Because all of these people who for a month and more have been on the whole, oh, Charlie Kirk has a neck of steel, haha, cannot be 30-06. All of these people are now dismissed in the theory, in the working theory by Candace. Because now Candace, from today, believes that a 30-06 fragmented bullet could entirely be possible. because she reports on the surgeon invoking the possibility of a fragmented bullet. So there's mass deception that's happening. And the people who watch today's episode, they may be mass deceived into thinking that a dog not finding the gun is a particularly salient fact of this case. It's even a fact on which we can conclude things. And some of them inevitably will be concluding, therefore, this gun hadn't shot that day. Hadn't shot a bullet. But my case on Jordan's podcast is, let us follow Candace on this. Let her deceive these masses to the max. Because if the deception of millions of people is needed to have an open investigation that we are satisfied has been properly conducted to its extreme, then let it be. If bits of knowledge that I can get as an elite epistemologist from Candace's work, despite the fact that she's doing harm into the real world on the side, I want that bit of knowledge. Because there is something that Candace must be credited with as we balance between criticizing and praising Candace. Candace has said for months against call-outs from the internet, against insult, against threats against her. She has been saying, I am absolutely certain that Charlie Kirk said in the texted in the days before he died and in the day before he died that he was afraid that he was going to get killed by them. And them was unspecified at first. And now we understand that them was leftist in general. At least in one case of the messages. So Candace has been holding that line for months. And Erica Kirk came out publicly and decredibilized that story and said, no, I have the cell phone of my husband and he has not said those things. Now that the two have met, we now know that Erica Kirk was wrong and that Candace Owens was right. Now, that is a massive, important, and salient detail. If someone gets killed and they said days before they died, I'm afraid that they're going to kill me, I want to know. That is highly relevant. And Candace was wrong, and the rest of the world was... Candace was right, and the rest of the world was wrong on this one. And Erica Kirk was wrong. Why? Because Erica Kirk was on... I mean, woman. Okay. What? Where will a woman check for your messages? Unless she's a geek. She's a normie woman. She's going to check for your messages in your regular Android messenger or whatever is the equivalent on Apple. She is not going to check in Signal. She is not going to check in specialized apps that are end-to-end encrypted. But if you're a man engaging in this domain, you obviously have, you need to have Signal and stuff like this for more hot discussions, for stuff that you want auto-destroyed on the two phones at an agreed upon date after it's communicated. Signal is a necessity for public people because there are certain things we don't want to leave trace of. And although you can never assume that the other person isn't screenshotting your Signal conversation, you can at least have the confidence that if they are not malintended against you and trying to trap you, that both parts of the discussions will disappear at some point in time. And at least they will not be de-encodable by an outside observer. They will be end-to-end encrypted. So for these reasons, of course, if Charlie Kirk had said something of that magnitude, it would be on Signal rather than on his regular phone. Now, here's a bit of information that I am extremely happy that we have. And we have to give 100% the credit to Candace for having been so insistent across this month to say, no, I'm sure that this is true. These people are lying. She was right. They may not have been, Erica Kirk may not have been lying intentionally, but she was definitely spreading a false view. Now, imagine we had someone less aggressive than Candace. Imagine, and to an extent, I am an example of such a guy. If I go with a story and someone with apparent access to better knowledge than me denies that story, I will be like, oh, maybe I should step back. Maybe I should retract. But Candace pursued this and called out Erica Kirk for weeks and weeks until we got to the truth. So here's one example where, despite the mass deception induced in crowds of people because of all this questioning process has implications, and you can't quite ask the question without having the implication. So masses of people have been led to think Erica Kirk may actually have murdered Charlie Kirk. But in the end, we get a truth that is improving our elite knowledge, our elite epistemology of this case. And I would make a case that we should pursue this, that ultimately the retards of the internet, they are responsible for their own stupidity. And if a bit of knowledge can only be obtained by raising questions publicly that have implications that lead these retards to believe all sorts of false things, that's their problem. The question about whether Candace is a net good should be, is she asking questions that are productive? Are these questions leading us to better knowledge for the people who are intelligent enough to process it? For the people who aren't intelligent, there's nothing we can do to save them. There's no way I can fix the people who will always believe the worst possible thing from a question. But we still need to ask, should these questions be asked or not? I think they should. And I think I'd rather have an agent that is overly harsh in her pursuit of the truth, so that at least at the end, we know that the best case has been given for Charlie and for the truth. We know that it has been pursued with a maniacal approach. We know that it has been pursued even with a certain degree of paranoid approach. That is a better standard than what we would all know if Candace wasn't here. Because if Candace wasn't here, we wouldn't know that Charlie said, I believe they're going to kill me. Now, consider this. These messages were in the hands of people, human beings, who have kept silent on it, intentionally hidden this, and intentionally not spoken publicly, to say, hey, you know what, guys? Candace is crazy on all sorts of things, but she's right about this one. Here's the message. Two people have zipped their mouth while the entire internet was either behind Candace on this statement or attacking Candace for this statement and calling her out. I mean, can you imagine the degree of morality that you need to be standing in front of deception and not intervene? So I'd rather have Candace than these people. Whoever it was, these two people who have a proof that Candace was right for 2 months and they just sit on it, shame on them. And I'd rather have a paranoid psycho bitch, literally, at the helm of our epistemological process than these people. People who are capable of seeing mass deception and remain silent in front of it. I'm not able to do that. And Candace, apparently, is not able to do that too. And she has decided that she would do this role of asking questions. Now, this has been mocked a lot recently. Just asking questions, just asking questions journalism. But it is an important role of the journalist. The journalists, they're either just regurgitating you propaganda that's been designed to brainwash you, or they are using facts and leveraging them to get more facts. Now, that is expert journalism. When you're able, like when James O'Keefe gets to these guys, you know, these gay professors who are revealing state secrets for gay dates that they engage in, it's kind of ridiculous at this point. It's like always the same style and always the same conclusion. It's like, okay, there's a bunch of very bizarre people who have very bizarre addictions that lead them to betray the nation in various ways. That's basically the James O'Keefe story for each video. But what James O'Keefe does is he starts with some facts that he has about someone and he hooks them in. He hooks them in with a fake camera, hidden camera, fake story. And he uses these facts to get more facts. Now, if you master the art of using facts to get more facts, and you dedicate this at finding the truth with Charlie Kirk, which is what Candace is doing, then as far as I'm concerned, you are a stellar journalist. Because it really does, it's not about whether you'll be right about this theory or that theory. It's because you are causing the truth to be forced release. That's what Candace is doing. When she says, I have the conviction that there is currently a cover-up by TPUSA of the murder of Charlie Kirk, she is saying, I caught you in a lie, and I'm going to use that lie to fish more facts. I'm going to use that lie so that you have to go in shame in front of a camera and you're forced to apologize or correct. But whatever you say then, when you're apologizing, is going to be a little more true than your last lie. And slowly, and no matter, like, Candace is kind of like the queen of pain in Dota. Like, I love pain. Candace has decided to undertake a torture apparatus onto the public space. And she has built a torture apparatus for TPUSA. And TPUSA have bit again and again by saying stuff that was incoherent, by getting called out, by trying to engage, by then trying to ignore. They kind of tried everything. They tried ignoring stuff for a while. Doesn't work. The crowds of the internet are still pissed. They tried addressing some stuff. They tried dismissing stuff. They tried mocking. And it's like Candace is like the queen of pain with her whip. And she's like, every time you say something that's nonsense or that, even if I can call it out in kind of an angled way as kind of a lie, I'm going to do it. Because I want to whip you until you say the truth. Until you say, I want to know the truth just like you, Candace. Until you acknowledge that maybe we don't know everything about this case. Until you open your mind. And, you know, credit. I haven't seen this done before at this scale. This is the national event of our time. Let's say of the decade. Certainly of the year, if you don't agree with the decade. And here Candace is taking the helm of it and leading toward more forced investigation and leading people to get rapprochement that we didn't expect. Like Erica Kirk, basically, being with a meeting with her 3 days ago, And we realize that Erica Kirk's concerns aren't even so much about the conspiracies, but they're really around Kenda saying, stop donating your money to TPUSA. This gives us so much info about how these people think, how they truly are. This is so important. But we got this. Why? Because of Queen of Pain, torture type of extortionist journalistic practices of the most aggressive kind. But it's okay. It wouldn't be okay if Candace was doing what she's doing in the pursuit of cancel culture or hit piece writing or in the service of a bunch of billionaires who want you to believe a particular thing. But the fact that she's deploying all of this torture device of the world to find the truth, that is reassuring to me. And it tells me that maybe already we can affirm this. We have gotten to know things about this whole thing that we wouldn't have known otherwise. And that is therefore a better mechanism than hidden FBI institutional controlled communication. I like crowdsourcing. I believe it is misguided. It is costly. It is deceptive to many people. But in the end, it gives me more to chew on than what a cash battle can ever give me. And therefore, I stand with the idea that Candace is a net positive for the world. Now, people are telling me Trump is going live. We will be cutting the show now so that you guys can go see Trump. What has been announced is that Trump is essentially about to announce a war with Venezuela, which is absolutely ridiculous, which I saw coming. And I said, you know, the way they bomb these boats is kind of, okay, aggressive, no due process. And then they went to ground strikes, and I was like, this doesn't look like a war on drugs. It looks like a war on American interventionism into a socialist country that they don't like because it's not economically aligned. So today we may have the conclusion of this, which is the logical conclusion. Trump is again going to crash the economy just like he did his first time. He crashed the economy for COVID. He's going to crash the economy for a stupid war, a war of intervention. That has ruined, you know, what do we have to show up for? The decades of South American intervention, of American military, CIA psyops, and all this crap. We have nothing to show for this. Trump has his dreams, I guess, of, we're going to get the oil. Well, yeah, you're gonna sacrifice human beings, American resources, and the entirety of the American economy to appropriate resources that aren't yours. Bullshit. But let's go to watch what he has to say, and maybe I'll comment more on this tomorrow.